When they said I could leave, they said I was shaking my head. I was shaking my head like this. I was shaking my head. There was one sister, Cynthia, that was her name. Also my classmate. She saw me approaching. Like, Banky, how is it? I was just shaking my head. And she was like, what happened? All I was doing was shaking my head. I couldn't believe it had happened. Are you getting my point? What am I talking about? I pray that all of us will learn it. He said, why do you have struggles? Why do you have quarrels? Why do you have turmoil in your soul, within your members? He said, because you do not ask. That's verse 3. He said, at the end of verse 2, he said, you do not have because you do not ask. Listen, who do I have in heaven but you? Everybody is applying for a job. You actually don't have anybody physically. The problem is that the person we have, we don't tell him about the job we applied for. A lot of times we're just there declaring, I have it. We're just declaring, you know? Just declaring. You have not even bothered to settle down. Say, Lord, today I applied for a job. I submitted my CV. They didn't allow me to put spiritual people as my referees. I will have put your name. You understand what I'm saying? But you are my number one referee. You are the only one I have in heaven. I'm not going to call anybody. I have dropped my application. I have dropped it. Lord, I like this job. These are the reasons why I like it. That would remove turmoil from your soul. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's what we're talking about. Very, very important. You know, I said to the person that God actually answers prayers. The problem is that we actually do not pray most of the time. I like what Kenneth Hagin said in one of his books I read. He said, you know, he was a prophet, so he used to have visions of God, you know, visions of the Lord, visions of angels and all of that. He said that the Lord told him something once in a vision, a real vision, physical. He was seeing him. And he said to him simply that, I think he had this feeling that his wife was going to die early. It was a feeling that was with him for a very long time. And he said the thing actually used to hinder his ministry. Being a prophet, you know, he used to shy away from spiritual manifestations because once he gets into the realm of the spirit, that thing comes into him again. So just so as to close the thing out of his mind, a lot of times he just wouldn't try and get into the area of prophecy and stuff like that. Anyway, let's make a long story short. One day, he had the opportunity and he just prayed to the Lord about it and said to him simply, that I've always had the feeling that my wife is going to die early. And the Lord said to him simply, yes, that is true. She was going to die very early, maybe in her 20s or early 30s or stuff like that. Ah, and he said, eh? No. And he began to tell the Lord, I like her very much. She's a very nice person. I like her a lot. That, you know, somebody I've worked with for some time. That's taken him some time to get her trained in the ministry and all of that. And if the Lord takes her away, he's going to have to start again. He just explained simply like that. So the Lord said, what is somebody? What are you saying? I don't want her to die. And he said, done. No problem. She's not going to die. Now, the woman outlived him. He died at about the age of 88. She died like 2 or 3 years after. And this happened when they were in their 20s or so, or 30s. So 50 years later, the woman was still alive. And he said, the Lord said to him then, that why am I doing that? He said, simply because you asked. Now, I don't know whether you got, that was the one that caught me. He said, why? He said, simply because you asked. That's why I tell husbands, you must pray for your wife. Now, go and read the story of Isaac. Isaac married at the age of 40 after his mother died. And Esau and Jacob were born when he was 60. 20 years. He didn't have a child. She did not bear. And the Bible said that one day, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. That same year, she conceived and gave birth to those two boys. I learned the story. When I read the story, I learned the lesson long ago. I said, so, bros, why did it take you 20 years to get to that point? Simply, maybe he had many other things to try. He had many other ways to go about it. When he had tried everything and he had been frustrated, he finally settled down and turned his face towards heaven and entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. And the Lord said, no problem. And that was it. She gave him two kids that year. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, you know what I was saying earlier? You can't look at a man and say, God, give me a man that will take care of me. God said, listen, I'm the one that takes care of people. So I'm not going to give you a man that will take care of you. So better forget that nonsense. If there's anything you want in life, pray about it. If you have troubles, don't go and marry to solve your troubles. I'm always having a headache. I'm always tense. Maybe if I marry, I will cool down. All right. You will marry a woman that's more tense than you. If you are tense, pray now. Ask the Lord to help you solve your tension. And don't give the job that God is supposed to do to a human being. Is it fair? Think about it now. You say, why are you doing that wicked? All the tension in your head. You want to give one young woman to solve it. Why don't you give God that one to solve first so that she will come and meet a man that doesn't have that kind of tension? Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. In that teaching, he said that God said to him that, you see, the problem is this. My children don't ask me for things. All they do is complain and whine and grind. I'm adding words to it now. In what they call prayer. That they hardly ever pray. They don't ask for things. When I started teaching this short series, what I had in my mind was just to bring brethren to understand again, the people of God, that praying, all right, faith is not one, it's not a long English. It's not something you tighten your stomach so as to be able to achieve. It's an attitude. You know, I said it by saying it. It's what? An attitude. It's just an attitude. That is, when I have problems, how do I handle them? Who do I turn to? You know, the other day, a friend of mine and I were talking. One man of God, the pastor, he died. And we're discussing the matter. So I walked in on them and I said, can you imagine? He died. He refused to take medicine. Can you imagine? They said he did not take medicine. Why did he do like that? You know, people were just talking. I said, what happened? They said he died. I said, he's dead. I said, he has rested. People should just leave him alone. I'm going somewhere. I said, listen, guys, I work in the hospital. And those doctors are just as dangerous as what now? As not going to hospital at all. Let me put it like that. I pray you understand what I'm saying. I said, maybe the man was believing God. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. And he died. Who tells you that doctors don't treat people and they still die? So his medicine did not work too bad. But the other one too, it doesn't always work. Say, the man has died, don't worry, just leave him alone. He has rested in peace. I'm going somewhere. So my friend and I were not talking about something. I said, Christians forget, and listen to this, that prayer and the word of God is as tangible a medicine, let's talk on that level, as any injection, any drug that any doctor can give you. Is that tangible? Now you judge which one is more potent. It is as tangible. So don't tell me that a man who refused to take one doctor's medicine is foolish. Don't tell me that. I won't accept it. I'm a doctor, but I won't accept that from you. Because I know that he chose a medicine. If he used it properly, all right, you can argue that he didn't use it well, according to prescription. But please don't make it appear as if the fact that he did not take the one that we can see means he was a foolish man. He was not a foolish man. The word of God is tangible medicine. It is. It is. Believe me, it is. The problem is that it's difficult for us to connect with it. We don't have the patience. We can patiently be swallowing tablets. You understand my point? It's called faith extenders. You can see it. You understand? I will not believe that he rose from the dead except I touch the injection and, you understand, feel the bitterness of the medicine. Yes. You know. So it happens. And the Lord Jesus was very, very kind. He came to Thomas and said, yeah. Oh boy, you will not believe without seeing. You say, Ansu? Say, yes. Put your hand. You put down. He said, Allah, Lord and my God. He said, ha, now that you have believed. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. He said, now you have seen, you believe. What am I going to bring out? The fact that it's easier to believe that which we can see. You understand my point? And that's our problem. It does not remove the authenticity and the veracity and the reality of that which we cannot see. I'm bringing out something here again. That is, listen. If somebody says, my uncle is a minister, maybe minister for health, all right? And is going to help me get this particular appointment. So I'm going to call him. Now, get what I'm saying? I'm going to call him. And then the friend said, ah, no, my uncle doesn't even have time for things like this. Though he's a minister, he's the vice president. I could call him, but I don't like to bother him. Don't worry about it. There's no need anyway. I will just call God. I'll tell God about it. I don't know whether you're following my point. Do you know it's a proper conversation? It's not to be commented on. I'll call your uncle. There's no need. I think I've called God about it. You handle the matter. Let's go. And there's two guys chatting. There's no big deal. You know, there's nothing. It's just chat. Nothing. So have you talked to that man? No, I didn't bother talking to him again. When I go home yesterday, I just realized that he's just but a man, and I don't even know his mood. His mood can change. So leave him. So what I did was that I just asked God about it. So I've talked to God, and you handle it. Now let's go. Calm, attitude, talk. You know, are you getting my point? No guru about it. Kenneth Hagin said that the Lord said to him that the truth is that people don't pray. They complain. You're going to see the scriptures. Now, because this is how you know that you don't know God. If you travel anywhere because you are looking that this man works miracles, you go there, just know you are confused. You may not be wicked though. You may not even be a sinner. You're just confused. You know, something struck me. This is how you know when somebody is walking properly and when he's not as a believer or as a human being. If you are trapped, now, you know the Bible says something. That they used to follow Jesus Christ for two things. To hear and to be healed. Are you getting my point? To hear and to be healed. You want to judge whether somebody is a man of God? Let somebody tell you one day what they heard him say that blessed them. Forget the miracles for a moment. Just tell me what you heard him say that moved your spirit, that blessed you. If there is nothing like that, you are following a liar. Fact. They said they used to follow Jesus to hear and to be healed. Two of them always went together. So I see people running up, and these are people who are not going to be blessed. Once they go, they are run only for miracles. They will never be blessed. Never. Be there for 10 years, you won't get it. Even if that man of God is authentic, how much more when he's fake? Please, I hope you understand what I'm trying to explain. I just dropped that one on the side, all right? Just by the way, just you know, trying to buttress the point I'm trying to make that. The problem is that a lot of people, God is not real to us, so, you know, we actually don't pray. We often say prayers. Some people grow up saying prayers. It's a joke I read once. One young boy was praying. And other young boy, young girl, anyway, a young person, yeah. And said, "Our Father who art in heaven," and the Lord said, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "Don't interrupt me, I'm praying." Are you getting my point? I said, "Our Father who art in heaven," and the Lord said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Please don't interrupt me, I am praying." That is, they grew up saying prayers. Are you getting my point? But God is not really like, let's talk to him. How do we solve this problem? Are you getting my point? This is real matter. Let's just join our hands and ask. And that's all faith is. That you see God as real, tangible, you get my point? Not just, that's more real than the person you know, the person you can see. And when matters come up, like, let's talk to God about it. That it's just a matter of, it's just a simple, the way I'll say that, Israel, please, did I leave my bag there? You get my point? In the same manner, I just want to say, Lord, man, between now and next week, it looks like we have to come up with all the money needed for this. So I just want to ask that you send the money, and I say it sincerely, as if I called Dangote. Are you getting my point? And Dangote is my friend. You are getting what I'm saying? You know, if you have them somewhere like Dangote as your friend, very nice guy. Anytime you need something, you can call him. If you need that 10 million, you know you wouldn't bother really. Just say, okay, I'll call Alhaji. You know, it's simple. You just and the person who heard you say it takes it for granted that, all right, fine. Hopefully, if Alhaji comes through by next week, it should be done. What am I trying to say? What is prayer? We realize that God is richer than Dangote, is nicer than Dangote, He doesn't have people between him and us that we have to talk to before we can talk to him. That is closer than Dangote. You see? Richer, nicer, closer. And most importantly, loves you and thinks about you all the time more than Dangote has a capacity to do for even his wives. Or if any wives they have, I don't know, but Okay, Yasmin has one, even for his wife. That is what faith is. That is what faith is. All right? Now, I hope you understood that. I hope you understood that. All right? I've used that to just tie many things together. I want to just explain something here. Actually, I was going to a particular place, which I'm sure we have been mentioning here and there as we're going on. That is, he said, why do you have quarrels in your members? Why do you have conflicts in your soul? Why are you unsettled? Why can't you sleep? All right? And that's my joke again. Why are people pursuing you your dreams? You understand what I'm saying? It is because you do not ask. That's the summary. Because you do not ask. Now, let me just add this one to you so we can wrap this one up today. He now said, when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives. Now, that's specifically what James said. But let me add something to it because other parts of the scriptures also say it. Again, you ask with wrong methods. You ask with a wrong focus. You are asking for that which is wrong. I've said many other things added to wrong motives. James was saying specifically about motives. What is the thing that is stirring up your prayer? Are you getting my point? What is it that's stirring up your prayer? You know, are you becoming childish so that, you know, Israel and I were joking the other day that if you buy a very good and very nice and very powerful phone today, by the next week, they will bring another one that is finer, more powerful, and listen to this, and cheaper. You buy Galaxy S3 today, 12 months later, you say it's plus one. It's not Galaxy S4. And those who don't have, you don't have a turn to prayer point. That's the kind of prayer God no good answer. You hear they flog you for coming to pray. Why? Because immaturity is your problem. It's part of the wrong motives. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? So, no. The world sometimes, that's what James was talking about. You must be careful. I said that last time as I was closing. That you must never let the world give you a prayer point. Don't let them give you a prayer point. Listen, don't let the world give you a prayer point. You want I say all the time? My mates have done this. And what is my answer to that? What's my answer? You don't have mates. You don't have mates. You don't have mates. Then my mother said to me, your mates are building houses. I said, how many of them are teaching the way of success? That ended the discussion. You build a house, I build my radio broadcast. Abi? That's it. I don't have mates. There's nothing I'm doing that I'm checking out. My mates doing it. When I started doing ministry, my mates were starting churches. I said, I lie. I don't want to do that. So, you know what I mean? Mates. Every mate has his own problem. Me, this is my own problem I'm solving. You don't have mates. So, mates can, if you kneel down and say, God, my mates are, that's it, end of prayer session. No, Reverend Father, just come out for a confession box. I can't come out, leave it for them. That is, you are talking with God, and your mind is, my mate, that's it. Who? I just get up from confession box, leave you alone. By the time you finish confessing, nobody there to prescribe any penance for you on your own. You don't start. No, with God, there's nothing like that. That is what he called asking with wrong motives. Asking with wrong motives. Let me say this to you again, because it's not a lie, it's a fact. There is nothing in my life that I really want, I pray to the Lord for, that he doesn't give me. Nothing. Nothing. Unless I don't want it. And that's part of maturity, that there are things I just decide I don't want. I'm one person, I can admire something, admire it very well, but I don't want it. Like I say all the time, you know, I'm kind of aware about technology. I know what's going on. You know, they interest me. So if I analyze a sports car for you, say, okay, you like sports cars. Do you know, it has never crossed my mind to want to drive. I don't even want to enter it. I like wide, tall, big, I'm not running anywhere, you know. I would say, he that believes will not make haste. So I don't, not trying to get anywhere in a hurry. I just take my life easy. But I can sit and be admiring it. I'm going to say something here. The world is not going to give me a prayer point. Never. You understand my point? No, they won't. They won't press me into things because everybody is doing it. Everybody is now taking their children abroad for holiday. When are you going to start? That is it. I'm carrying my children to Yankari Game Reserve. That is it. That is once you say that one. I do the one I want to do. Now, if nobody is doing it and I want it, I will still want it. I don't have mates. I do the things that are mine in my own season. Listen, if you purify your heart to that level, I'm saying to you, straightforward, no lie about it. There is nothing you want in life that God will not give to you. Including if you decide you want to go to the moon so you can see the earth. The how come is only from down, you are looking at the moon. Why can't you from moon look at the earth? No, it sounds silly, right? Yeah. But God will just be the one to say, okay, guys, he wants to go to the moon. No, God doesn't have any issue with your desires as long as it's not competition. Did you hear what I said? As long as it's not competition, say, I want to build a house that has 17 floors. I said, no problem. Give him money, give him everything, let him build a house of 17 floors. But he said, why 17 floors? Can't you see that the other guy's built the one that's 15 floors? That's it, you are going underground. That's it. The bad God won't give you anything. But if you're not thinking about anybody, honestly facing your life, facing the assignment of God, and you see that as we go, well, maybe I want to end this one today. I don't know. I think I'm going to come back to it. But you see, maturity as a believer, all right, helps you to understand what is important. Are you getting my point? Yes, it helps you understand what is important. And what happens is that as time, because of that understanding, your prayer points tend to be on those things that are important also. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. Let's talk about ministry as an example that, okay, why am I alive? Why did God give me life? You've come to an understanding of the fact that a man, a woman should follow purpose in life. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you've come to that understanding. So you start reasoning along the line of purpose. You are reasoning along the line of purpose. What happens is that when you utter prayers, in fact, maybe later, let me just get into it. There's what the Bible calls the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that does what? That avails much. It was James that said it. Let's just read it just further down there. That will be in chapter 5. From verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? What did he say? I can't hear you. He said, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. Now, please notice this, which is why we read this. He said, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, I want to read that in other translations. He said, New Living Translation says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, I'll read a few others. The prayer, he says, of a good person has a powerful effect. That's good news. Now, the one I'm actually going to is Amplified Bible. Now, please, listen to this from the Amplified Bible. That tells you something. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in its working. Why did I read that? I wanted the word heartfelt. You see it also uses the word earnest, all right? Let's talk about that briefly, the word heartfelt. No, first of all, let me dispense quickly of the word righteous man. We've talked about true righteousness revealed, amen? If you are here then, say amen.
Amen.
Now, I explained that, I'm not going to go over that again. Herein, he said, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. All right? So righteousness is by what? By faith. Any true believer that has consciously, deliberately recognized Jesus as the Son of God and having died for his sin also, you get my point? Apart from the fact that he came, you recognize the fact that he died for your sin, you are a Christian and you are a righteous man. That's what the Bible is talking about. Now, my emphasis, all right, is on the word heartfelt. Now, you see, this is very important. I was saying something earlier before I went into this. All right? Now, please, notice this. I was explaining that as you go on in life, you begin to understand purpose. Yes, that's what I was trying to explain. That you now understand the things that matter. All right? Now, spiritual things are like this. You have your body, of course. You have what you feel. But there is something that's actually what the Bible calls your spirit. That is where things settle that resonate in the realm of the spirit. Now, something that catches your attention today, all right, actually does not often resonate in the realm of the spirit. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. That is, wow, man, if you see the dress that girl was wearing, and you get excited, man, let's pray about it. You see, can God supply dress? Yes, sir. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
But you know, most of the time, it doesn't answer those ones. Not because, what is wrong with yourself? Why are you just liking dress like that? That's not the issue. The fact is that your prayer point is not heartfelt. It is flash felt. Like just a flash feeling based on what you just saw suddenly. Are you getting my point? You know, you see something for the first time, it makes such a powerful impression on your flesh and on your emotions. But really, it is not heartfelt. Now, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. That's why I tell people that the person that can pray for you the most, that is most effective, is the person that feels your pain. Do you get my point? You know the way it is, you are going in traffic, all those pictures that those boys always used to come and beg, they'll show you somebody with one very large elephantiatic leg like this. And you know, you just look at it and they are begging, you don't even give them 5 naira. And if you give them, you are kind, you are moved, you drop 100 bucks, you know, that kind of thing. And you feel very righteous. They show one child that the whole face is swollen with a tumor. Don't you see those things on the road? Am I the only one that sees them? And you know one thing I know? I'm sure all these doctors and nurses don't give a dime. You know why? They've seen worse things. So if it is money, you'll have been donating money at work. They don't even notice. You bring, and you know, some people, what is that? The donkey just driving. He's chewing his meat pie as you are showing him the bad pictures. He doesn't notice anything. Now, I'm bringing that issue now. But you know, there's a difference between that and when your mother calls you and says that your sister is in hospital, her stomach is paining her, and they don't know what is wrong. If you were eating, what's the first thing you do? First, drop the spoon. You push the plate back. What happened? When? How? For what reason? What did they say? How's she feeling? What have they done? Where are you people? Which hospital? Who is there? And this, see, the question is going on. And if it's like you are all in the same town, you're already looking for your car keys, you are looking for your shoes. Okay, which hospital did you say? You know, that's what the Bible calls heartfelt. That kind of, you know, they show you a picture on the road, you give 100 naira. This one, if you had the money, and they said to cure this, is 500,000. You know, you finish paying it before you realize you paid it. This is not a 100 naira offering now. Why? Because it is what? Heartfelt. That's what, you see, there's no way of explaining this thing more than the fact that it is heartfelt. That is the one that resonates in the realm of the spirit. That's why I tell people that it is difficult to pray for somebody you don't know effectively. It's very difficult. It's not impossible. What the Holy Spirit does at such times is to place a special burden upon your soul. You understand my point? That is when you pray in a way you don't understand yourself. But most of the time, that's not what happens. Most of the time, what happens is that you know the person and his trouble troubles you. Her pains, you feel them, even though your body is not feeling it. But the fellow is not sleeping, you don't sleep. Listen, those are the people that feel like that for you are the ones that pray most effectively for you. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That's the principle of intercession. And they say, okay, pray for the hungry people in Bolivia. Where is Bolivia? Most people don't even know where Bolivia is. If I ask people now whether it's Asia or the Americas, half of these people here will say it's Asia. I know, as I'm saying, some people say, it's not Asia. you are getting what I'm not explaining. Someone in said, brethren, let us pray right now for the suffering people of Bolivia. That's when Pentecostals start speaking all kinds of funny tongues. You know what it means? I close this prayer for more, go house. They don't know what you're talking about. That is the heart not felt prayer. Even though it's a righteous man, it avails little. You are following what I'm going to explain. Now, let me just adapt to this other side. Oftentimes like that, when we are making prayers to God, a lot of times what we are praying for is not important to us. He knows. We may not even know. And he will prove it over time. After 1 week, you've forgotten the prayer point. Are you getting my point? If God were to answer it, you don't even know. What is this? What is it for? Who brought it here? He says, your own. My own? Okay. Keep it there. You know, sometimes when my wife and I discuss some things, I just say, this is not important. What do you mean it's not important? It's not important. You know what the way I do it? Okay, it's all right, fine. Just leave it. I know after a while, she will forget. That's proof that what? Let me summarize. I've taken time. We should close now. What have I tried to say today, all right? The last point I just made is this. The fact is that if something is important to you, listen to this. If it is important to you, it resonates in the realm of the spirit, all right? And if you ask God simply about it, listen to me, saints of God, 100% of the times, God answers prayers. There's no competition. We are not fighting anybody. Not Angela has married and has 2 children. God, when will it be my turn? Once you mention Angela's name, prayer session closes. That's it. Once you open your mouth and refer to somebody else, listen, that's the end of it. In fact, God will demand that you go and do a mugo for Angela for the next 2 children. And rejoice with her from the bottom of your heart before he talks to you again on that matter. Very important. No, what I'm telling you is very, very crucial. These are the reasons Christians are not blessed. As a believer, some things that you must never be named by mistake, by accident. You know, something around you is envy. Envy is not your friend. It makes sure you don't progress. Envy, it makes sure that nothing works for you. You pray, it will just... As soon as I say, in Jesus' name, amen, you just hear noise in the roof. It's your prayer bouncing back. That's what envy does. Comparing yourself. Look at how much this man has. Look at how much he's earning. Look at this one. And then in your heart, you are envy. That is, don't even let it happen one day. If you say, if it's trying to happen, start praying for the person. Be blessing the person. Give the person the gift. Be rejoice when the people are blessed. Listen. Once you can rejoice when other people are blessed, you're on your way to breakthrough. Do you hear what I said? Believe me. When you make your prayers simply because of how your own life is going in the direction of your purpose, and you simply ask God for things, listen to me, 100% of the times he answers prayers. Especially, like I said, when you know what you're talking about, and you really are serious that this is what the matter is. Remember my book, Shall I Say Yes? I told a story inside there that one sister asked me once. She said that, a friend of mine, we were in school together. She said, okay, bank, so what exactly is it that you want in a wife? And I listed 3 things for her, which I wrote in that book, Shall I Say Yes? Now she made a statement, which is why I remember it. She said that I asked her the same question 2 years ago. These were the very things you told me. I don't know whether I get the point. It's not as I was watching television one day. I saw Agbani Darego won Miss World. Lord, in the name of Jesus, when you give me a wife, she must look like Agbani Darego. You see what I'm saying? That is not heartfelt. When the lady, I didn't know we had that discussion before. She just asked me, what is that lady? That's what I wrote in the book, those 3 things we have talked about again and again. And she said, I asked you the same question 2 years ago. And that's exactly, all right? That was exactly what you said to me. What does that tell you? It means it was heartfelt. Are you getting my point? It was settled in my heart, and it was resonating in the realm of the spirit. I hope you've gotten my point. What have I discussed in the last few sessions on this is a simple thing about how faith works in prayer. If you notice, I have not told you how to wake up and face the east and declare this in 7 times. How to write your confessions in such a manner that you will never... No. Not all those methods, sometimes they are poisonous because they confuse the soul. Are you getting my point? You think that you didn't do it well. That's what the problem is. What I've tried to do is to just show us that it's an attitude of the heart. One, only God, and that's God alone. Are you getting the point? Number two, just know what you want. Just abide to it now. Let it be something that's really settled in your heart, and that's what we mean by heartfelt. And number three, purify your motives. There's no competition. Nobody's fighting anybody. Remember, we adapted that also to say that why do we have conflicts in our souls? Why do we have troubles in our hearts? It is simply because we do not ask. Are you getting my point? When you're going about your business, if things are rough, ask. You're in your office, things are slow, ask. In your school, a course is difficult, what do? You ask. If you do this, believe me, you will see the power of God manifested in your everyday life. I hope you've gotten my point. Now let's just rise to our feet and just give the Lord thanks. God, we're closing immediately. All right, our Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word is good. Please just put up your right hand. I declare to you again that goodness and mercy will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your hand is filled with the peace of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you get anywhere, you get home, or you touch your body that is ailing, and you say to it, peace be upon this body. Peace be upon this home. Peace be upon this business. I declare to you once again that the peace of God will dwell therein in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.